720 WGN. It is Memorial Day here, high atop Chicago Skyline Studio on an absolutely beautiful day that is really going to be, it is so much, right? Memorial Day is that time where we reflect and remember and honor our men and women in uniform and that sacrifice. It is also a day for families to get together and celebrate, oftentimes through food. We'll do some of that stuff as well. We will recap the race, the greatest spectacle in racing. I didn't get back into the Chicago area till maybe 2 a.m. You know, we were there doing so much for it. And so we'll recap some of the fun, some of those individuals that were such a big part of that, especially from Chicago. Will, I think we're going to have Jim Cornelison on. You know him from all of the work he does as the voice of the Blackhawks. Also back home again in Indiana, he does that song as well. We'll talk about some of the Wienermobile races. We'll talk about some of that. Iridian is in the booth as well. So some exciting stuff, some food stars and just a ton and a ton. So some military stuff, recapping of the race, kickoff for summer, and a guy who is, you know, I think of this. I know this is a year-round situation. The Bona Beefs aren't, you know, it's not just a seasonal thing. It is the kind of thing that happens all the time. I think of it, though, as a fun food, a festive food, not unlike, let's say, barbecue. You want to have a good time. You want to treat yourself and your family. You're going to head down to the original Chicago Italian beef. And the guy on the line, the man behind so much of it, as we're coming off International and National Beef Day, is Joe Bona himself. Joe, welcome to WGN.
Dane, nice to talk to you, and thanks so much for having us on.
No, it's great to have you on. I know that, especially as the company grows, Bona is so much more and many more things to many more people around the country. We feel like it's just, you know, our home team thing. It's not necessarily a secret, but it is our indigenous delicacy. So talk about what's going on, just the excitement, sort of the aftermath of Beef Day.
Yeah, so, yes, it's been a great 10 years of trying to kind of inform and teach the community and then outside of our community about Italian beef and, you know, how all our Chicagoans treasure this unique sandwich. And yes, over the last 10 years, we're getting more and more people from out of state that are familiar with Italian beef, and it's just been great. I can't believe it's been 10 years since we launched our first National Italian Beef Day, and this was the best ever. So
yeah, well, it's great, and I think of this as some of that just benevolence around the support for what it is, and just embracing that history and sharing it. These things would not be things that people would know if you weren't there sharing it, and also just sharing just how it all started, whether, you know, on the beef side and then the other families that were involved, and just that the origin story of it. And I love how you guys also just raise awareness for, you know, some of those other original companies and families that got involved in the beginning.
Yeah, that's so true. And, you know, there's so many great Chicago families that have their own, you know, independent Italian beef stands, that, like we call them, or, you know, restaurants. And, you know, passed on through generations. So there's so many great Italian beef sandwiches in the city of Chicago and suburbs. But and we want to be ambassadors. We want to be ambassadors of Italian beef to not only the Chicago area, but to the larger communities. And as we start to branch out, we're opening 3 states now, soon to be 5 states. So we're very excited to keep, you know, telling the story of Italian beef.
But, you know, it's a difficult business. I've for the last 20 plus years highlighted the men and women, the faces, the personalities of the food scene, of the restaurant world. It is a world that is so ingrained with everybody. You know, everybody around, everyone listening right now spends time at restaurants, at food places, makes family memories, just enjoys your local spots. But it is a tough business. You have to be hardwired to be successful and to be able to do it and do it at a high level. Talk about this, Joe, because one of the things I've always thought was interesting is you have that great story of how it was made. And as you guys expand, one of the tricky things is not necessarily building more buildings, but it's getting and having to, you know, that consistency in the product. All the reasons why people loved it in the beginning, you want them to love it for those same reasons. How hard is that, right? To be able to make it taste the same as it always did.
You know, that's a great, great point, Dane. And that is something that our family is passionate about. We make the beef, we still make the beef the exact same way we did back in 1981 when we opened. And, you know, it's a challenge, because what happens is when you make Italian beef, the original authentic way, you roast it so long that the meat shrinks. So you lose about 40-50% of the meat that you know to make the great gravy that we all love to have our sandwiches dipped and baptized in. So that in itself is it's very time consuming. It's hours. It's a couple hours of dry roasting the Italian, you know, the roast, and then you know another 3 or 4 hours of cooking it into the gravy and making that delicious gravy. So it's a barrier to entry. So my concern is always, you know, with the independents that only have one or two locations, that they're able to still be around, because passing that on to the next generation, you know, that's a lot of hard work. So, but in our case, we've been able to, we have a couple family members that are dedicated to working our, you know, our Italian beef kitchens and making sure that it's made the exact same way that when we did it in 1981. Now, of course, we have larger ovens now, but we still pan roast every top sirloin cut of meat and make it the exact same way. It's just all much larger and bigger scales.
I think that having it be a family business that has that attachment and that dedication to the legacy is really the difference. If you would, let's say, sold off to some big conglomerate, they would just say that doesn't make sense from the business model standpoint. They'd be like, well, why would we want to do that? If it shrinks it, that's just against the whole profit margin thing. So kudos to you guys for doing it. And I think it pays dividends, right? And it has been a testimonial as more places are open and receptive to Bona Beef. And you, as you guys expand, right, you want to have great stuff. You're an ambassador not only for the product that you make, but for Chicago. I wanted to ask, and there's some notes in here to ask you about Mr. Beef. I know that, you know, with the, you know, the show The Bear, right, you know, so just the idea, the mystery of the Italian beef has kind of been shared with the world. I, you know, it's a little bit of Hollywood in there. I'm not sure exactly how how absolutely accurate, but just your thoughts on that.
So yeah, so first to back up, you know, my uncle was the originator of Mr. Beef. My uncle, Carl, but his name is, we call him Uncle Junior because he was the junior in the family. But him and his brother-in-law opened the, Mr. Beef, the original Mr. Beef on Orleans in the 50s. And then they sold it to the current owners. But I just think that's a, you know, a fun fact for our family. So that's kind of a variation of our family's recipe.
Yes. As big as it gets, you know, you guys are still involved in that origin story. And of course, as beef and Italian beef and Bona, you know, travels the country and expands, you've always got that as well. Before we let you go, Joe, explain it. And I know it's always changing, right? As you're adding more locations, more states, more products, there's even going to be some grocery items. So people will have that in the freezer as well. Where can they go, whether it's social media wise or a website to catch up?
Yeah. So the best place to catch up would be, you know, Bona.com, Bona.com, and that it would take us to all the links. We're our frozen Italian beef is in over 2,500 grocery stores in the Midwest, and we're opening, and we just opened in Gurnee, Illinois on Grand Avenue. We're opening in Crown Point, Indiana, sometime in August, September. Also in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Wow.
We're opening, yeah, so that we're really excited about that. We have a franchise partner out there that we're very excited about. And then also another one in Wisconsin and one in Texas that will hopefully be open by the end of this year. And we're very excited to, you know, expand our roots and, yeah, keep working at making the original Italian recipes.
I love it. Carrying the torch, not only for Bona Beef, but also for Chicago as well. That Murfreesboro, Tennessee, you probably have to have sort of a, like a seminar, like an introduction to beef class, right? For the people so they can understand what it is.
Italian Beef University. Yes, we do.
An institution of higher learning and great taste for sure. Joe, thanks so much. We'll have links up. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
All right. Thank you, Dane. Have a good rest of your day. Thank you.
All right. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, Catherine Spangler, again, of course, we're going to be highlighting, honoring veterans and some of the great stories that are happening in and around that here on Memorial Day. So keep it here. It's Dane 720 WGN. Memorial Day is a time to honor our men and women in uniform and their sacrifices for freedom. Celebrate them with the red, white, and blue Weber agave of El Bandido Yankee Tequila, an ultra-premium tequila made from 100% blue Weber agave with no fake colorings or flavors. Their unique oxygenation process delivers a rich smoothness without that tequila burn. This Memorial Day, break out the Bandido at Firewater Barbecue or pick up a bottle at Binny's. For events, recipes, and cocktails, visit elbandidoyankee.com. 720 WGN Memorial Day here high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio. Wow, just a beautiful view. If you ever get a chance to see it, maybe online, or if you get up here to the studios, you could see, you know, you've got Navy Pier, you've got the lake and the colors. It's just it's a great day to be able to just be able to recognize and, you know, just support America. Of course, kickoff for summer, and on the military side, you know, we're going to be honoring our men and women in uniform and some of those sacrifices for sure, but also highlighting some great stories. We've got Catherine Spangler in studio with us. Catherine, welcome to WGN.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So people who listen to the show, to the station, they know that I, in addition to the food side, also cover a lot of the motorsport stuff, so racing and a lot of car-related things, and somehow those worlds. And in addition, we do a lot of veteran stories as well, and recognizing men and women in uniform, and all of those sort of things have sort of kind of converged on a day like today. And I know I was made aware of your story a couple months ago. I think maybe it was like in April or something when all this happened. So talk about what happened, like what it is that you were the recipient of some support, of a gift, of a car.
Yes. So I am associated with a nonprofit in Crystal Lake, Illinois. It's called Veterans Path to Hope. So, just kind of had some life destabilizing events right after COVID, and I sold my car, and financially just kind of, you know, I struggled for a while. And Veterans Path to Hope, they nominated me for this car. I'd been basically walking and had two jobs, you know, for
how did they know you needed a car? You know, because some people don't. You know, they don't want a car. You know, there's a lot of people out there that just like to, maybe they'll take public transportation out on Crystal Lake. I don't know how available that is. Or maybe they like to, you know, run or ride their bike or maybe horses. I don't even know. How did they know that a car was really what you were looking for?
Well, because I was utilizing a program that they had there called Patriot Rides. And it basically provides lifts and Ubers for veterans, you know, getting back on their feet from whatever circumstances that they're in. But they lost that funding. So I just, you know, made do. I was working two jobs. But when they lost Patriot Rides, I had to quit the second job. So I was not able to get, you know, to that second place of employment. I have two children. I was spending a ton of money on Ubers and Lyfts just to get to their activities and to work. So they knew what the need was because I was, you know, working with them directly.
Yeah, Debbie Robinson is a person that's that worked to coordinate some different guests. Sometimes it's, you know, NASCAR drivers, and sometimes it's great causes. I know she works with the Crash Champions folks, and we were talking, kind of laughing. I've seen some of the locations in the suburbs. I'm familiar with what it is, well, where they are, and I think they do repair. I think that they help, you know, cars get in accidents and they repair them, and they're the champions of fixing crash cars. And so Catherine made it a point to there's a distinction that the car didn't seem like it was in a crash, so this was a pretty good car, right? And so they got together and wanted to help support in the way that in the area that they have, which is cars, and support veterans.
Yeah. So there was a woman in Massachusetts who donated the car. And yeah, it's a Honda with 39,000 miles on it. So yeah, I know. I got really lucky. Really lucky. So it's an awesome car. My kids love it. And it's improved my quality of life for sure.
Well, and so anytime, there's a lot of organizations out there that support veterans in a lot of different ways that they may have needs. And, you know, and it isn't always, you know, super dramatic needs. Sometimes it's everyday stuff that everybody would need. Talk a little bit about your service. I know it's the Air Force, right? It's the branch.
Yep. Yeah, so I was in the Air Force in the 90s, and, you know, I was discharged, honorable discharge, and then I just went out into the world and lived my life and didn't, you know, really think about the Air Force much. I wasn't, you know, I'm a veteran. I'm really proud of that, but I, you know, just kind of became a civilian, and that was it. And then when circumstances got a little rough, that's when I went to VPH, Veterans Path to Hope, and got some help. So my point in saying that, though, is because I know the overlap of Memorial Day and veterans is important, but we honor the fallen on Memorial Day. And one of the things that VPH does is support for mental health for veterans, and there are a lot of combat vets, and the need is pretty... I don't want to say extreme. It's just, it's there. The need is there for mental health support. And they do that there at VPH as well. And I just kind of think that there is something to be said about veterans when they come back from war. And we have the issue of that still remains the statistic of 22 veterans a day are still succumbing to suicide. And yeah, that's a situation that and a circumstance that's near and dear to my heart. So I just really appreciated that you asked me on the show today so that I could talk about that as well, not just about myself.
Whatever you know, kind of causes the attention to be able to utilize it, right, to help in a bunch of different directions is great. Do you have any kind of any links or places that people can go to get more information?
VPH is VPH. I think it's vphope.org in Crystal Lake. So that's the only thing I know of right now, you know, but.
So you chose the Air Force. Why? For those people that are listening now, and we're going to have throughout the course of today's show, we're going to have people that are veterans, but maybe have taken one path or another path and gone on to just other lives. You wouldn't necessarily know, you know, they're not generals or things like that. Right. But they decided that at least initially, maybe it was out of high school or early on, mm-hmm. that the armed forces was a path for them. So why did you choose to serve? And then why the Air Force?
Okay, let's see. So my father is he's no longer with us, but he was a Marine Corps veteran, and my brother was an Army veteran. So it was, you know, I'm from a military family. My senior year of high school, I actually said something to my dad about joining the Marine Corps, and he was like, absolutely not.
Well, so, why was he against? I mean, obviously, any parent, right? You know, there's a level of danger involved, and... Yeah.
Well, you know, I lost my dad right after high school, and I went to college for about two semesters, and it was tough, and I had a friend who had joined the Air Force, and I was compelled to join the military again because I'm from a military family, and the Air Force was a perfect fit for me. So I joined, I went, and I had a great time, and it really kind of corrected some things about, you know, just an upbringing and economics, financials, you know, it just kind of helped me out a lot. It stabilized my life, really.
Well, I know that there's structure built into it. There certainly are relationships. A lot of that stuff happens too. But also, you know, it's, and they've had to because, you know, they're trying to inspire more people to get involved and support. And it can be, there can be some career opportunities. It can be like a pretty good thing if, sure. if that's, you know, kind of what you're leaning into.
Yeah.
All right. So what was it going to be as far as the Marines? Like if it wasn't like what your dad was, what was his, was he just worried about your safety if there was a conflict or was he just more like the Marines are hard and I don't want you to be yelled at so much?
I think it was because I almost had an opportunity to go to Okinawa, Japan. And I spoke with my brother who had been in the Army and he said, what is the ratio of men to women in Okinawa? And I found out it was 22-1. And stateside for the military, and this is, again, back in the 90s, it was 11-1. So that was the, my brother said, why don't you just go to the Air Force Academy instead? So I was stationed at the Air Force Academy. I wasn't a cadet, but I was stationed there.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we touched on that. Again, we're going to have links up for that and all of those support systems at WGNradio.com. We are going to take a real break right now. We'll be back with more 720 WGN. 720 WGN high atop Chicago Skyline Studio on Memorial Day and on a day with so much celebration, right, but also reflection, honoring our men and women in uniform. It's exciting to be able to highlight some cool things coming up, having a positive impact. It's the Knight Ministry, and we've got Dana Ringer on. Dana, welcome to WGN.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Appreciate being here.
A great city like Chicago, you know, with all of the news and everything that happens, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag as far as all those things. Some really super positive things are happening. You guys have been doing it since I think 1976, and talk a little bit, for those people who may not be familiar with the work of the Knight Ministry, share what they do.
Thank you. Yes, appreciate that. We have been around for almost 50 years. You're exactly right, 1976. And, you know, our mission is actually to provide housing support, healthcare, and most importantly, human connection to our neighbors who are unhoused or experiencing poverty. So it's been around for a while, and we're trying to stay close to our mission that's near and dear.
So like any big city, there's going to be a certain amount of that for Chicago. When you think about the need and, you know, just what's out there as far as the homeless population, just how big is it?
So the Chicago's unhoused population is pretty significant and growing. Our most recent estimate is that it's over 68,000 individuals. So there's definitely a lot to be done there.
And for the Knight Ministry, there are a number of organizations that people think of, probably listeners coming to mind, whether it's shelters or soup kitchens or just a lot of different resources that may come into play to assist those individuals. For you guys, how do you specifically help? What kind of programs are in place? And specifically, how do you impact those lives in a positive way?
Thank you. Yeah, we have a number of different programs, both various housing programs for youth and street outreach. We provide services and resources to help individuals stay alive and stabilize and transform their lives. So we actually serve more than 5,000 young people and adults a year. We bring healthcare. You may have seen our buses on the street around the city. We provide food and clothing and additional services to people on the street to help them survive. And we also help them while they're looking to secure housing. We provide safe living environments for young people experiencing housing instability. We have a overnight emergency shelter for young people, and we help offer support for them to obtain greater stability. So I think, you know, what drives me and what is really important to the mission is not only the healthcare and the housing, but it is the human connection, and we build trusting relationships with the people that we do serve.
Chicago loves events, right? And it's a great opportunity not only to inspire others, sort of raise awareness, some funds, and of course, recognize those people that are doing great work within the foundation and for the mission. So talk a little bit about the event that's coming up.
Thank you. Yes, we are having our largest fundraising event of the year, Lighting Up the Night. It is on Thursday, May 29th. It's from 5:30 to 9 p.m. at Morgan Manufacturing, which is located in the West Loop. And Lou Manfredini will serve as the event host for the second year. We're thrilled to have him back.
Great.
And the event is going to, and we're going to honor two dedicated supporters. One is a lifelong time volunteer, over two decades, and the other is Old St. Pat's Church, which has been a great partner of ours. So we're really excited. It's always a great event and good people, and we're hoping to bring support to the organization.
So give the website for people to get more information. Obviously, we'll have links up at WGNradio.com for those people that may, you know, want to get involved, want to support, maybe want to learn more about what it is that you guys are doing. I know the event is coming up, but I'm sure you guys are doing great work all year long. Where can people go?
Thank you. Appreciate that. So if you'd like to learn more about the Night Ministry, our website is thenightministry.org. And if you're looking, there's financial opportunities, there's donations, there's volunteering, just a number of different ways that people can get involved and help. And we'd really love the support. So thank you. Thank you for that. We really appreciate it.
We'll have links up at WGNradio.com. And I know there's going to be some great refreshments there. I heard that El Bandito Yankee is going to be involved as well. So some great margaritas will probably be on tap for the event as well. Dana, thanks so much for what you're doing with all the things that you're doing with the organization. Again, we'll have links up. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Dane, thank you so much. Really appreciate being here. And happy Memorial Day to everyone. And thank you for the support of the Night Ministry.
WGN, it is Memorial Day here, and it is Dane here with you until 7 p.m., and it is the kickoff of summer, and some people that are football fans think it is the kickoff before the summer mini camps, before training camp, before football season, and maybe they just fast forward past summer and get right into football season. A person on the line who handles so many things and so many great causes and certainly interacts with some of our biggest and best superstars on the football side is Karen Wright from Gridiron Great. She's the executive director. Karen, welcome to WGN.
Hi, Dane. How you doing?
I am doing okay. I think everyone that is listening is doing pretty good. If you're enjoying your day, you know, recognizing our men and women in uniform and sacrifice, maybe grilling out a little bit, certainly enjoying some really great weather. I know for you, you're probably in the eye of the event-related storm. So maybe you're not having a great time today?
No, I'm having a great day. The weather is beautiful. It's a beautiful Chicago day.
Well, let's talk about the organization first, and I think the important work. Everyone is excited about the Hall of Fame event. Such a great time to not only get together, raise awareness, raise funds, but, you know, let's talk about the organization, sort of that bigger picture, that higher purpose that makes it all possible.
Sure. So it's Mike Ditka's great. So we're working hard to keep, you know, Coach Ditka's legacy going, and we provide financial and medical assistance to former NFL players in dire need situations. So, you know, this started way back when it was, you know, focus was on a lot of pre-93 guys who didn't quite have the benefits of the current you know, players nowadays. And they needed surgeries. They needed, you know, help financially because they just did not make the salaries, you know, that the current guys are making. So, you know, coach, you know, started this and wanted to just help guys and just do the right thing and help them out. So, you know, we've been doing this since 2007. We get about 5 to 10 calls a week of players who are just down on their luck for one reason or another, whether it be a career-ending injury or the mental health issues that are affecting players with, you know, concussion-related injuries. And we're just trying to help. If we can provide a month or two of some daily dire need, you know, financial assistance, it gives them a little bit of a breather and they can, you know, get back on their feet. And that's what we're here for. And medically, if we can provide, you know, some orthopedic surgeries, we've got some surgeons that do pro bono surgeries for us that are just doing a fantastic job in getting these guys feeling better.
Wow.
But we can only do it, you know, when we have the funds to do it. So we have to have these fundraisers. We have to depend on donations from everybody. And we're just keeping it going. Keeping Coach's legacy going here.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, you mentioned pre-93. Was there something, Karen, related to, was it a collective bargaining or maybe salaries in general that makes that a distinctive cutoff between players that maybe made a bunch of money or didn't? You know, and Coach obviously was, you know, around before that, but he has been very successful, you know, just a great coach. Correct. And a great television personality. And so he has been successful. It's nice for him to be able to kind of pay it forward, pay it backwards, right? And give back to help those guys. But why is 93 sort of the year that you mentioned?
Well, that's really what the impetus of the charity was to help these pre-93 guys. Obviously, we've moved forward and we're helping, you know, players that have played past 93. But the pre-93, yeah, the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, you know, after 93 created a little bit more of a cushion, a little bit more assistance program, a little bit more benefits for these guys. But pre-93, they didn't really get that. I mean, a lot of those players had to work in the off season to provide for their family. They weren't getting the health insurance benefits. And even now, I think they get about 5 years health insurance after they leave the league. So it's not a cure all, but it's gotten better. So, you know, when we started, like I said, our main focus was the pre-93, but now we help all players.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that's great about it, certainly the work that you guys do and the assistant and support that you underwrite and help coordinate, but it's also a great opportunity for football fans to be able to get involved. And that's sort of that fine line that you have to walk as you create this fun and exciting event and bring in some of these beloved personalities and find ways to highlight and showcase them and provide really what is one of the coolest nights for fans to be able to do that. End result is everybody gets to feel good about some of the impact that they're doing. So talk about the event coming up on the 30th. It is the Hall of Fame Gala. Everyone loves it.
Yes. So it's our Gridiron Greats Hall of Fame. We started it in 2009 to, you know, give honor to some players for not only their outstanding, you know, work on the field, but also for their charitable works off the field. So since 2009, we've inducted over 150 men and women into our Hall of Fame. And we understand not everyone can get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, right? So this was just our way of being able to spread that love a little bit and, you know, give the honors to more players, you know, while they're here. So yeah, this year we've got a great group of people that we're going to be honoring. It is a night that, like you said, it's a fantastic night. It's really an intimate night for the fans. We have about 400 people, so you know, it's not a huge.
It's pretty big.
So you kind of get a little bit more time to spend with these players. Mm-hmm. They've been fantastic in, you know, talking with the guests that we have. It's an awards night, right? So we've got, you know, an awards portion where we've highlight what they do. But afterwards, the players, you know, stand around and they're talking to the fans and they're taking pictures and stuff. So it is fantastic, but it's a great night for us to raise the visibility of what we do and to raise some much needed funds. We have a, you know, amazing silent auction. It is online. So even if people cannot make it to the event, they can still bid on the auction items and win them. So that's a great way for everybody to get involved. So, but it's a really wonderful night. You want me to go through who we're honoring this
year? Yes, go ahead. Yes, give some of those names.
Okay, so for our Chicago fans, we're honoring Olin Krutz. And so again, we don't just focus on Chicago players. We are helping players across the country. So for our Hall of Fame, we're also honoring players from all the different teams. So this year we've got the Olin. We're going to be honoring Leonard Marshall from the Giants. We've got Mark Collins, Vernon Davis. Every year we do honor a Canadian football player. We've got a great relationship with the Canadian Alumni Association, and they started a program based off of Gridiron. So this year we've got Garney Henley, who is a four-time Grey Cup champion. He is just a real, you know, icon in the Canadian Football League. We're also honoring Chris Draft. He's going to be getting our Marv Levy Impact Award, which we give out to players that have a military connection. And because Marv, you know, we love Marv. He used to be on our board. He's a World War II veteran. So we want to honor him with an award in his name. And then we also do a Woman of the Year Award based off of Sylvia Mackey, who's John Mackey's wife, widow. And so this year we are honoring Angela Biletnikoff. She's the CEO of the Biletnikoff Foundation. So Fred Biletnikoff is her husband. He's a Raiders Hall of Fame player. Mm-hmm. And we honored Fred back in 2015, I believe. So this year it's our turn to honor Angela for all the work that they do with their Biletnikoff Foundation.
That's amazing. So some great ones that are going to be, they're going to be honored on stage, certainly getting awards. But there's a lot of people that show up. I know that there's a ton of different players that are just there that either support maybe past inductees or just around that participate in the event. I know, and it's not just limited to football either. So Chris Chelios, you know, with us and, you know, El Bandito Yankee, he was there along with Jim Bob Morris. Yeah. And you mentioned some of the auction prizes, and yes, there will be all the things that you sort of know and love about this type of event as you're imagining auction prizes. So probably autograph helmets and pictures and footballs and lots of that stuff,
jerseys.
But also,
yep.
And jerseys, right? And also some pretty cool other stuff as well. I know last year and this year we're doing the same thing, is we're going to have an opportunity for a fan to go to the Bears-Packers game up at Lambeau Field and fly on the jet. So you're going to be in the El Bandito Yankee suite with all the El Bandito Yankee tequila that you can tolerate, right, and enjoy. And then regardless of the outcome of the game, you know, that can make things maybe more appetizing or less, right, depending on that. And then you're going to get to fly on the El Bandito Yankee jet at the same time, which is a pretty cool way to go ahead and see that. It can be tough to get in and out of there, and this is, you know, a great way. And I think a lot of the Bears, you know, the fan, you know, Bears Nation, they're super optimistic this year. Could be some good results.
Yeah, and that we are just so appreciative for that trip to be able to put that into our auction, because it is really does generate a lot of excitement that night. And what an experience for, you know, a player to be, or a fan to be able to go there on a private jet and then to enjoy the experience, you know, at Lambeau with the El Bandito Tequila, which is an amazing sponsor of the event. Thank you very much. So, yeah, it does make the auction pretty fun.
And Bears fans are going to say Caleb Williams is undefeated at Lambeau Field, right? And so starting a new tradition. And as we let you go, Karen, give information, the website for people to get on there, you know, get tickets and browse some of the items and get ready to go.
Absolutely. They can see all the information from buying tickets to, you know, checking out our auction items. It's at gridirongreats.org/Hall of Fame. And, you know, Dane, as for your listeners, I wanted to offer a special discount code for tickets. If anyone's interested, we're going to be selling tickets up until Friday, this Friday, the 30th. And if they go to the ticket site and enter in DITKA150, they'll be able to get tickets for $150 off. So wow. The ticket will be, you know, it's a great deal. I don't discount tickets. I haven't advertised that at all, but I wanted to do something special for your listeners today.
For all the WGN listeners, huge sports fans for sure, Karen. It's a great opportunity and certainly a great cause. We'll have links up and enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks so much for jumping on.
Thanks so much, Dane. Have a great day. Enjoy the rest of Memorial Day, and we'll be seeing you on Friday.
All right, it is going to be great. We're going to take a break from one gala to another, and this one is the Indy 500 gala. We're going to talk to Phil Ray from Indianapolis. So keep it here, 720 WGN.